May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divine power for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Again, I think when people often think about Lent, they think of a time of morbid introspection. Lent is a season when we radically seek the mind of Christ and then come into agreement with him, repent of any thought of speculation raised up against the knowledge of God. And so last week, on the Monday night broadcast, I talked about what God believes about you. I talked about it again in Acts Wednesday service, because that's the most important world. What does God believe about you? That's the knowledge of God. Anything raised up against that is where the warfare is. Battles with the fiery darts. But it's to change your mind is to stop thinking contrary to what God thinks about you and says about you. What the enemy will often do, he'll use your experience or your performance to help define and dictate what's true about you. But it's the truth that sets us free. And what's real about us isn't always manifested by our experience. Our experience will eventually begin to manifest what we believe. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore his death was the death of all humanity. And he died for all that they who should live, those who receive him, no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no person according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him less no longer. It's a glorious scripture. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, a proper translation of that would be also, if any man is in Christ, or any person is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. There are two words in the original language for new. One of them is new in terms of time. That would say, these boots are wearing out, so I'm buying a new pair. Same, but new. Then there's another word for new that's new in that it's an original. There's never been anything like it before. It's totally unique. And that's the word here that's used. It's the word kainos. And he says, if anyone's in Christ, so we can say it this way, and it would be true both ways. If anyone's in Christ, he or she is a new creation, and they're a new creature, and there is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So a little more grammar. The old things passed away, in the original language, is aorist tense, great tense. It means some reaction. The old things passed away. Not gradually passing away, passed away. He says, but the new things have come. That's perfect tense. Perfect tense means it was something that was completed in the past, but there's continual, every day, every moment, discovery, experience of it. It'll like happen, but it's happened. It happened, but there's an experience and discovery, moment by moment. This is what God says about you. This is what he believes about you. If you're in Christ, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you came from, this is true about you. See, the popular opinion that the gospel message is a message of a second chance, second chances, is a false narrative. That's not the gospel message. It's not big enough to be the gospel message. The gospel message isn't about a remodeled version of you given a second chance and a fresh start. Gospel message isn't about a second chance that you're given as a new in time, you. The gospel is about new creation. And something that once was replaced by something that's totally new. Galatians 2:20 again says, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's a totally new thing. That you never existed before. The OU no longer exists. The idea that you're still in bondage to the things of your past is a deception from the enemy. That's not true. The old man was totally and completely crucified. And every time you and I act as the old man, it's a complete deception. It's a lie from the enemy. Jesus didn't just patch up the old, pat you on the rear end and say, now go at it again. Get a fresh start. He didn't trust you with that. You shouldn't have been trusted with that. The gospel is, I'm going to kill the old and I'm going to raise up something totally new. He says, therefore, if any person's in Christ, they're a new creature and there is a new creation. The whole world is different. You're a totally different person and you live in a different realm. You're in Christ, seated in the heavenly places. Nothing looks the same or seems the same. You don't see anything the same. You don't see people the same. You see nothing the same. If you have two people sitting on a park bench, one's a Christian, one's not become a believer yet, they may seem to be living in the same world, but living in two different worlds. One's living in this realm, the other one's sitting there, living, seated in the heavenly places. They're a new creature, and it's a whole new creation they're living in because they're in Christ. They see the world in union with the eyes of Christ. They don't see anything the same as an old, as a lost person does or as they used to. Everything's from his perspective. The old has passed away. And the glorious experience of the Christian life is not becoming new. It's discovering the old passed away, but how everything can become new. It's discovering the wonders of the unsearchable riches of Christ now yours because you've been placed into him. It's because you've been placed in the realm of his life and his reality and his person that makes you a new creature with a whole new creation. Don't you understand that? A whole new creation. That's the realm you live in. Not just you as a new creature, but living in a whole new creation. Jesus lived on earth in union with his Father, and he lived on earth. It says everything he did, he came from above. He didn't come at it the way you and I come at it. He didn't come at situations and circumstances the way fallen people do. He came in circumstances and situations as one who came from heaven. Nope, didn't come from the land. He was coming from heaven in everything that they do and say. They live in a whole different creation. Is there a whole different kind of creature? That's you and I, because we're Christ. We're new creatures and experiencing a whole new creation. All things surely have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son.